This question has a lot more relevance this morning. It was even better at 8:15. How many of you are morning people? Would you raise your hands? That's disgusting. How many of you are not morning people? Good. I'm definitely with you. I think I learned this. I worked a swing shift for quite a few years, 4 to midnight. Later, they took our lunch away from us. It became 3:30 to midnight. But, it was a really good shift because you could do things in the morning while people were working, like sleep in. but at midnight, I was ready to, still raring to go. And it took many years to kind of get my cycles kind of back to normal after that. But what I used to do in waking up in the morning, and this is not meant to be funny, really, it's I would wake up in the morning and I'd wake up and the alarm would go off and I'd say, oh God, not again, time to get up. But not a very edifying way to wake up. And I heard a talk by a priest he's been an acquaintance of mine for several decades. He has become quite well known in Los Angeles for his preaching and at various groups and stuff, and he was giving a talk, and he said, I used to be really grouchy in the morning, and so what I started doing, he said, the way you start the day is very critical. We all know we're supposed to have something for breakfast, right? But we also want to start by praising the Lord. And so he had a formula that he uses. Praise you, God the Father. Praise you, God the Son. Praise you, God the Holy Spirit. So we're going to practice this. Praise you, God the Father. Praise you, God the Son. Praise you, God the Holy Spirit. That's great. Let's say it again. Praise you, God the Father. Praise you, God the Son. Praise you, God the Holy Spirit. Now, let's suppose you wake up in the morning, you feel lousy and you say that, you don't feel like it, you may not even really, on one level, you don't even mean it, you're still feeling, oh no. Do you know what that is? That's called a sacrifice of praise. I have decided that my mood, I haven't had my coffee yet, or I didn't sleep well, or I got something on my mind, is not going to rule my day. I'm going to start by giving the whole day over to God and thanking Him in advance for all the wonders and trials that I'm going to have today. That is a sacrifice of praise because we don't feel like it. And it is precisely when we don't feel like thanking God or praising Him that it has the most power, because it really is a sacrifice. Where else do we see a sacrifice of praise? We're going to see one today. It's called the Eucharist, the Holy Mass. What did Jesus do at the Last Supper? We're going to hear it today. He took the cup filled with wine. Again, he gave you thanks and gave the cup to his disciples. And he offered them his blood. It was about to be spilled. He had complete knowledge of the misery he was going to go through that very evening, that all of his disciples were going to run away. And what is he doing? He's giving thanks to God as he offers his blood to the Father. Only God could do that. But it's a model for us. That's why the Mass is a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice for Jesus. On the human level, he must have been terrified. On a divine level, he offered it to God. So when we do this, it is a sacrifice of praise. Now, we think we know this gospel, but we often don't hear it. There are things there that we perhaps have not grasped. The great danger for lifelong Catholics is that we hear the lepers and we think, oh, I've heard that one, and we tune it out. And we miss the gift that God wishes to give us. The first thing we learn here, I think, is that if you really want to get God's attention, give Him thanks. Many of us start our prayers with petitions or laments, what's going wrong. That's okay. But God really appreciates it if we start by thanking Him for something. When I thank God, I get His attention. Look how Jesus reacted to this one man who came back. It's, you know, he reacts the same way. He says, oh my gosh, there she is. She hasn't thanked me for 10 years. Here she is. She's come back to thank me. And he pours out graces on this man who was a foreigner. A leprosy in the Bible is really the worst thing that could happen to you. I suppose the equivalent today would be AIDS, or making perhaps more realistic for most of us, getting the flu. You know, if you are obviously sick, people don't want to come near you. They say, oh, please don't shake my hand, or I'm contagious. This is kind of, a leper was not allowed to be with his family. They could not hold a job. They couldn't be in communion with anyone. They had to live by themselves. So what they would do is, you find here 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. These people hated each other. But the illness overcame this natural dislike, and they're bound together by this illness. So they'd position themselves at crossroads, and they'd stay in a distance, because this was the law. It was also courtesy. And they'd call out for alms. And the Bible actually says that it's a good work to give alms to people like this. And people would drop an offering for them of food or something, money. And then they'd come and pick it up, you know. This is the only way they had to earn a living. So just imagine this kind of a life. No social security, no family to help you. If they went by and dropped something off. And so they know Jesus is coming. They've heard, you know. And they're calling out, Jesus of Nazareth. See, they recognize who he is. They call him by name. Jesus of Nazareth, take pity on us. What were they looking for? Money or a healing? Doesn't say. Probably a healing. They didn't get one. Not right away. Didn't get any money either. Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priests. In the law, that meant, if you've been healed of something, if you're a leper, you need to show the priest, and then he'll say you're healed. But they didn't have a healing when they set off. Maybe they thought the priest had some money for them. They set off out of obedience to God. And that, I think, is that's one of the keys to this gospel. They did not get the healing right away. Jesus did not answer their prayer immediately. So they didn't thank him right away because nothing had happened. But they did do what he asked. Naaman also, in the first reading, didn't want to do what God asked, and he had to struggle with it before he did it. And somewhere along the journey, one of them looked down and said, by God, you know, all these sores are gone. We've been healed. One of them comes back immediately and gives thanks to God, drops to Jesus' feet. Why is that important for us? I've asked myself, why is it, Lord, that I'm so often not grateful to you? Sometimes it's ingratitude, and sometimes it's lack of gratitude. If I got a gift from Aunt Sophie, and Aunt Sophie didn't hear from me, Aunt Sophie might be very liable not to give us a gift again. Isn't that the way it is? You work so hard on a gift for somebody, and then they don't even thank you. You do something in the church, and nobody seems to appreciate it or even know that you exist. Of course, God does. But God continues to give his gifts on us, no matter what we do. After we have perhaps not noticed his gifts over and over again, or have been ungrateful, he may begin to withhold his gifts until we learn something. If you find that your prayers are not going well, maybe you're not giving enough thanks. The Lord is a personality, not a formless being. He's not a force. He's a person. And like all people, we are chips off the old block. He also wants to be thanked because it's good for us. He doesn't need it, but we do. We need to learn gratitude. If we're never grateful, he's going to start withholding his gifts after a while. So I think oftentimes we are asking for something, and then we go on our way. We may forget that we asked. We may think God has not answered. And somewhere along the way of our life, God answers this prayer. Perhaps even better than we realized. Perhaps in a different way. Perhaps he did not answer it because it wasn't good for us. And we realized, thank God, I didn't get what I was asking for. But I think we often we're not grateful because God doesn't answer right away. Perhaps what we ought to do, for a long time I used to do this, if I'm asking God for something, I'd write it down, and then I'd check the list periodically to see how God is doing with these particular requests. Not to check on God, but not to forget that I asked. Because you often find that God, you know, he's gone ahead and answered this prayer, and we've forgotten that we asked it. The highest form of prayer, I think, and one of the things that helps us grow spiritually the most, and I said this last week, it's hard for me to do, but when I do it, I always grow, and that is to thank God when something's going very badly. I see in advance, through God's eyes, God working this thing to good, and I thank him before it happens. This is very powerful, very hard to do. But that's a real powerful prayer of gratitude and thanksgiving. Another way is to thank him as we realize he's doing things for us, and to thank him for the prayers answered that we have not noticed, because he's answering your prayers all the time, but not necessarily at the moment you asked. He says, oh, go on your journey, but expect that somewhere along the way, you're going to get an answer to this prayer. When I was hired at at the airline job, I found myself doing something in an entry-level position, as so many of us start out, and I just hated what I was doing. And I was very ungrateful to God for it. And it was only in hindsight that I realized that I was in exactly the place I needed to be, that God had been very good to me. If only I'd thanked God at the beginning, the powers of the Holy Spirit would have been unlocked right off the bat instead of looking in the rearview mirror and realizing that God was doing good things while I was complaining. So I think our Lord is kind of calling us to a lifestyle of thanksgiving. One of the things that I often remember is that there's a saying that I like to remember. When you're squeezed, what comes out of you is what's inside of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ever been squeezed and something not too pleasant comes out? Well, sometimes we can't help that, but that's a matter for confession. But you know, the second thing that comes out ought to be, thank you, Lord. No, I didn't like that, but thank you, Lord. If you don't mean it, if you don't feel like it, say it anyway. That's called a sacrifice of praise. If everything was easy, what kind of spiritual life would we have? So I think we'll finish with a little practice again. Praise you, God the Father. Praise you, God the Son. Praise you, God the Holy Spirit. Amen.